Hi, and welcome back to another edition of the Baylor Lariat Sports Podcast. I'm Joe Holloway. I'm with Brian Bateman and Nick Dean. Brian, how'd the sports go over the weekend?
Well, we had it was a pretty good weekend for Baylor athletics, I'd say. Starting on the hardwood, the men won, the women won. It was a great, tough victory for the men. I guess we can start there, talk about them versus A&M. A big win there. They were up by 12 at halftime. A&M came back, made it a four-point game, 72-68 final. But really, as Joe, you like to say, you call it a very chippy game.
It was a chippy game.
Very chippy game. Near fights three times during the game. It was just three technicals. It was a crazy game. So I guess Joe, from the stands, first of all, let's see what was it like for y'all in the stands.
Oh, Nick, how was it for you?
It was intense because I was sitting behind the the Bear Pit, and so obviously we had this big rivalry with A&M, and we also had no one liked Sloan, and there was just booing, and so I could feel the pressure just from the stand. So it was pretty much. I've been to a couple basketball games this year, and it was pretty intense. They were fighting really hard, but a lot of crowd motivation I think really pushes over that 4 points because. I think that at critical times, the crowd played a very good part in it.
Right. I think it's a really good thing we won. And if we didn't want to see a repeat of the peculiar weather conditions that happened last year in the Farrell Center where it happened to rain bottles, yeah. I don't know what that was about. But I think at one point the crowd noise was so loud they didn't get their shot off in time. Didn't that happen?
Right. Yeah, there's a shot clock violation. I didn't even notice that.
This is rare for the Farrell Center, but... You know,
I mean, it looked a little thin because it was Valentine's Day, but then it started building up gradually, and I think a lot of people showed up, so it was really good.
Free date.
The people were mad at the fouls that, you know, calling it chippy. I mean, the fouls, there were a ridiculous number of fouls mm-hmm. in that game, and so people were just chipping at each other.
I believe there were 25 fouls in the first half.
Yeah.
They called it early.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, yeah, it's kind of... You don't really like to see games called that tightly, but it was probably a good thing.
From a Baylor perspective, it's a very good thing because in the press conference afterwards, Mark Turgeon was talking about how you know they were calling it tight, but you know A&M doesn't have the depth that Baylor does.
The Baylor bench did a lot better.
Right, exactly, and I believe Baylor bench outscored the A&M bench 22-5, which was a huge key for that.
Well, we brought out from the bench Jones, who hadn't played.
Yeah, and Jones had a great game.
And, I mean, people in the sense were like, who is this kid? Like, someone asked me who he was because they hadn't seen him play. And, I mean, he was hitting threes. And, like, I do think we do have a lot of depth. I think we have a lot of surprise people who are now playing and Drew's finally using. So,
yeah. Kendall Wright get any action?
No, he didn't. No. But yeah, definitely. Anthony Jones came in there in the third or fourth minute and starting draining those threes.
Oh, my gosh.
I saw him. The last time
he had 8 points, didn't he? Two threes,
right?
And
yeah,
a...
two threes and a two. But I remember the last time I saw him was the Tarleton State game, which is one of the very first games of the year. And so I was there, and yeah, he was draining them then. And
wasn't he one of our highest ranked recruits?
He was, and yeah,
and that's why they have him. He's a big guy who can shoot from the outside. And he just
right.
Yeah, it's so weird to see him so tall and then out there just draining him over people.
Kind of like Keith Van Horn or a smaller...
The really tall perimeter player.
Dirk Nowitzki.
But I definitely think our bench is the thing that beat A&M, so that was good.
Right, yeah. So that, yeah, for Baylor fans, that was a big push. Because as I was noting in my blog, if you had read it, that the winner of that, of Saturday night's game, still has a shot for the NCAA tournament, but the loser pretty much is heading to NIT. So for right now, it's like A&M's heading that way, and Baylor still has a chance. But with the upcoming schedule, it's going to be tough. They have to go. They have the rest of this week off, then they travel to Oklahoma State to play them on the road, then on the road at Iowa State on Tuesday, then they come back home and play Colorado, then they go back on the road and play Texas for, I believe that's a Monday night game, if I remember right, and then Nebraska at home. So it's a lot more doable schedule than it was earlier, than their earlier half. But they're still going to have to get some help, especially against Oklahoma State, who took the Bears to overtime last game in Waco. So that's going to be a tough stretch for them there. Do y'all think Bears have a chance to make the tournament?
I think they do. I think they have to play really, really well. It's they're kind of out of games that they can be like, well, I mean, you lose games early in the season, and you say, well, it's still early in the season. But you lose games early in the season, then you get to the later in the season. I mean, it's kind of like you got to win them.
Right, and I do know that the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee always tries to find those teams that are hot at the end, so that might work into Baylor's favor, that they have, you know, they're pretty much either going to have to win out or lose maximum of one game to make it in. But if they are able to get hot and come in with a winning streak, they're going to be doing pretty well. Plus, we can't forget we have the Big 12 tournament that where, you know, if they go in as a 5 seed or something lower, they'll get an extra game if they can win 2, maybe 3 games in the Big 12 tournament, and that should give them a good shot to make it in.
Work in their favor.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So
you know what does good to get your team onto a little hot streak is a victory over the Aggies.
So. Yeah, definitely true. Yeah, and I think that's one thing Coach was talking about.
We should play Aggies in football as early as possible.
And move on from there. Right, well, moving on to the other side of the court, we got the women who, let's face it, Missouri is not the same as their male counterparts. They're not quite the same level, but you know, that was, the Laborers, they played pretty well, and they won the game.
They dominated it. You could say they dominated it. I think I know they were up by 29 points at one point. I think that's how the game ended.
It was, I just remember I looked up the game on my phone, and when I saw the score, I was like, wow, you know, it was pretty impressive.
Being there watching it, they kept it interesting with some pretty snazzy plays here and there, just to liven things up, but Baylor had it well in hand. At least for most of the second half. At first, it started out kind of close. Just some loose ball handling that resulted in several turnovers on both sides. It was low scoring for a while. The second half, Baylor really ran away with it.
Right, yeah, that defense really started clamping down, right?
And Danielle Wilson had 26 points, tied her season high, got another double-double. It was a dominant performance.
Good.
Free throw shooting could use some work.
Right. Well, but. Yeah. That's going to be, I think it might be an issue for a while, a couple years down the line as well. But I guess moving on, now they got Oklahoma coming up this Saturday, correct?
Oklahoma State. Oklahoma. Men are playing Oklahoma State.
Right. And that's going to be a key matchup because if the Bears can win and knock off Oklahoma, or the Lady Bears can win, then they'll be one game behind Oklahoma. So all they need is A&M or Texas, which that's kind of an outside shot. But if that happens, you know, what does that mean for Baylor?
It means they could be in the lead in the Big 12 and maybe a number one seed in the tournament. It's certainly possible. Oklahoma's got a tough schedule at the end of the year. They play Baylor. They go to A&M. They have Texas, and both of the A&M and Texas games, Oklahoma will play at A&M in Texas. So, have hostile crowd environments there, but the Baylor game's in Oklahoma. So,
right. So that'd be it really.
That would split the series between the two. Should the Lady Bears take that one?
Right. The Lady Bears right now are sitting with 2 losses in conference, and OU doesn't have any. So that if they do, if OU does lose twice, and they bring up all the tiebreaker situations, which are always tough to figure out. But
if you're Mulkey and the Lady Bears, you're hoping they lose all 3 of them.
Exactly. So, but I guess looking at the postseason, obviously they've got it wrapped up. They're going to make the tournament. Top 4 seeds in both men and women automatically get bids. But last year, the women got the women's conference got 8 out of, I believe, 10. Schools made it to the NCAA tournament. So there's pretty much, unless Lady Bears lose out, even then, I don't know.
There's absolutely no way the Lady Bears aren't going to the tournament.
Right, exactly. So they're.
And I'd expect them to go pretty deep once they're there.
Right, yeah, they're pretty set there. Because that's been the one thing that's been an issue the last couple of years is having a good, strong defense. And, you can't blame, but there's a lot of situations that have come up and that's been a trouble for that. But
defense is one thing the Lady Bears don't really have to worry about right now. Even in the games they lost, they still had pretty solid defense. It's just a lack of scoring and
right.
And all of their.
So looking to Oklahoma, do you think that might turn around? Because really, it was a close game, and
it was a really close game.
Only shot what 20-something percent.
Yeah.
And they still had it close. So.
It's if anybody, if there is another team in the Big 12 that's almost as good as Oklahoma and that has a shot, that has the best shot at knocking off Oklahoma, it's Baylor, mm-hmm. even on the road.
Right.
And that'll work some in Oklahoma's favor, but...
All right, well, that's the end for the first half of our podcast. We'll be back in a few minutes with talking about some softball and baseball action.
And we're back with the second half of the Baylor Lariat Sports Podcast. I think we're talking about softball and baseball in this segment. Brian?
Right, so we'll start with softball because they've already started. They had 2 weekends ago at Florida. This last weekend, they had the Getterman Classic. And before we go anywhere else, I think we have to... This player just begs being talked about. It's Whitney Canyon. My goodness, what a strong pitcher the Lady Bears picked up in the recruiting class. She had... What were some of the numbers this weekend?
She threw 32 strikeouts in the Getterman Classic. She picked up her third complete game shutout out of the Classic in Florida. She has pitched a total of 37 innings for the Bears so far.
How many strikeouts does she have altogether?
Altogether, she has 55. And, she's blowing it away. She's really leading from the circle. You hear all of her teammates in interviews and just different things saying how she's leading as a freshman and how she's playing and stepping up to the plate for them. So, right. She's a phenomenal player.
I saw her pitch on Sunday, and tell you, at one point, she had a bases-loaded situation with no outs that really wasn't her fault. There was a miscommunication in the infield of sorts. No errors were given, but it just allowed the bases to get loaded. No outs, and she just struck out the next three batters, and there wasn't much that they're playing Stephen F. Austin at the time, and there wasn't anything the Lady Jacks could do about it. She just kind of got it in her head to... get him out, and she went and got it.
Yeah, right. Definitely. Glenn Moore, head coach, was just talking about how during that situation, she just kind of, she looked angry, but she knew what she had to do, changed her demeanor, added a couple miles per hour on the balls, and just got him through, and just, really, really made that just go away, that problem. And so, you know, bearing that pressure as a freshman, she's definitely doing that. She pitched 7 innings in 2 games.
She pitched in every game.
She pitched in every game, yeah. And in 2 of them, she pitched 7 innings.
Right.
What was her? What did she clock a 71 mile per hour pitch on a fastball? So roughly the equivalent of a 100 mile an hour baseball throw, I believe.
Yeah, pretty close. She actually in that same game she had, it was 8 strikeouts in a row and 9 out of 10 batters faced between 2 or 3 innings was a strikeout. So.
I wouldn't want to bet against her.
Exactly. So yeah.
I mean, she's only going up from here. So
no doubt.
It's pretty phenomenal that we've picked them up. I mean, Brian, you were talking about how earlier, like, the only thing we were missing really is a strong pitcher. Mm-hmm. We've had Brett Reagan on third. Alex Collier, who's moved around, is now in first. Mm-hmm. Veteran outfielders, the Wesley twins. So it's a well-rounded team.
Right, yeah, and even if you look back, like I was saying, the last couple of years, it's been that way. You know, we've had good pitching. Don't get me wrong. Lisa Ferguson, Kirsten Vitek, and even Kirsten Shortridge for a little amount there. You know, they're good pitchers, but they aren't...
looking for that ace.
They aren't that dominant, you know, pitcher. And softball, that's really, to be honest, that's really all you need to be a good team. Not to be a great team, you have to have some other stuff on it. But
hitting, which I think they said is getting better, so...
Definitely.
Yeah. Would you say it was a new strength coach, I believe?
I don't know if she's new. I just know that Glenn Moore said that the strength coach really helped Courtney Oberg hit her home run from the Classic. They hadn't seen a home run since the 2007 World Series.
From her.
From her. And so it's definitely been definitely a good shot to see her finally get a home run. And then also...
she was excited.
Brett Reagan got one this Classic as well, so they're just looking for more of those.
Right, yeah. So, it was a good, great weekend for softball. They go on the road, I believe is the consensus. We had some trouble trying to figure that out. But
they're heading to Houston Wednesday, and they'll be back this weekend.
So that should be a good matchup for them, because Houston last year had a really good club. You know, it surprised me how good they were. I think they actually beat Baylor both games. I'm not sure on that, but it was pretty... wow, it was a very good matchup there.
Well, We'll have a tough time to beat the Lady Bears this year.
Right.
Chaney will be rested. God, she's going to be yes. blowing stuff past people.
This weekend, they play at Baylor at the Getterman Stadium against Sam Houston State.
Right, so that should be a good series there. Moving on, I guess, from the Getterman Stadium across the little way there to the Baylor Ballpark starting up this weekend. And definitely check out our preview we're going to have on Friday. It's going to be a pretty interesting-looking page. I've got some new design options, so we'll have to look at that. But Baylor baseball, ranked number 8 by Baseball America to start off the year. Lots of preseason hype. They've, last year they were ranked a little high last year, but they ended up not doing so well. But a lot of people returning, including the entire pitching staff. So
it's always good to have starters back, and particularly pitchers.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and we had some situations. Sean Tolleson last year was a kind of a off and on guy. He won one game. He threw all 9 innings, a complete game, and only gave up 1 hit. And it was, I think he had, I'm not sure the exact stats, but it was 13 or 14 strikeouts in that game. You know, and then the next game he'd come around and not get through the first inning. I remember that. So hopefully he has
matured.
And I think that was kind of an issue all the way around, was the maturity level of this class, because I remember last year being the baseball writer, that, you know, a lot of the guys would just come up and try to hack away at the ball, try to hit a home run every single time. But generally doesn't work out too well. But if they do something like that, it's going to be a little tougher this year, because you've got 5 teams in the Baseball America Top 25 from the Big 12 Conference. You've got Texas A&M, who comes in at number 1. You got Texas, who I think is either 4 or 5. You got Baylor, Missouri, and Oklahoma. So it should be an interesting season there.
Big 12 is rough in every sport, just about.
Mm-hmm. Definitely so. But yeah, Steve Smith was the coach talking about the rankings, and yeah, Baseball America is generally the one that we use just because it's the most well known one, and the NCAA uses that as well. But the coaches' rankings by USA Today has Baylor a little lower, and has a lot of things moved around. So that's also another one to look at and kind of take your fill from that. What you think, you know, as opposed to sports writers versus coaches. But yeah, it looks like it's going to be a strong year. Nick, what's come up this weekend for them?
This weekend they play 3-game series against University of the Pacific, starting at 6:30 on Friday.
Right, that's a 3-game series.
They'll play 6:30 on Friday. They'll play 3 p.m. on Saturday and noon on Sunday.
So that should be a good way to start things off. And they got the QTI Baseball Classic coming up in a week or two. Mm-hmm. And then they're heading down to Houston, where they're going to be in the Houston College Classic, which is going to be a huge event. They go every other year. And so they'll be playing Texas and Rice, who we didn't mention was ranked number 7 in the nation. They'll be down there, and some other top teams. So it'll be a good chance to look at. So that's baseball. That's baseball and softball from the diamond. Y'all got anything else? Just get off your mind about that. Or
sounds good to me.
Yeah, I agree. I guess. Well, thank y'all very much for listening to our podcast today. Be back next week, and we'll talk some more about baseball and basketball.